All right, the Mosei, let's continue. So we left off on page Samech Gimel, on section Ayin Tes. So the Mechaber is the following. He says again, so page 63, section 79. Anashim l'mashal nechsham b'lashan. So let's remember again, his whole yisod, his whole principal approach is this idea that whenever a person struggles with something spiritually, it's never that thing that they're struggling with. Rather, the struggle is symptomatic of a much deeper fundamental issue. So for example, if a person, he says, for example, Anashim l'mashal nechsham b'lashan hara, people go ahead and they stumble with, good evening, Dov. They stumble with lashon hara. So what happens? The ri'ya asura, with looking at inappropriate things. Ukedoma umenasim la'avod l'takin asapegamim halalo b'tzura asrapim. Suppose that whether a person struggles with lashon hara or a person struggles with looking at inappropriate things, so we all struggle to try to fix those deficiencies in different ways. Yesh leida sheshorish kol achatoim halalu huchoser be'emunah chushis. That says in the Chaber, at the end of the day, if I struggle with looking at inappropriate things, or I struggle with lashon hara, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You fill in your struggle. You keep that here. You keep that here.
I'm glad the Rav noticed that.
What happens like in between shiurim? Nothing.
You listen
to the audio. To the audio. I understand.
What about storage fees?
Storage is something.
Belovi.com.
It's .net. So the Mechaber says it's very important to understand. I will say, and this is an incredible Yisodistic idea, and incredible also like in our timing right before the Yomim Noraim, that when we struggle in a certain area, the focus often becomes that area. So again, person, you know, it's hard in our day and age with Shmira Sayinayim to make sure that a person doesn't look at inappropriate things. So let's say a person struggles with that particular inyan. So the way we address it is, okay, so how do I make sure that I don't look at inappropriate things? So whatever steps a person is going to take, says the Mechaber, it's not really the way to tackle that. The way to tackle any religious challenge is to recognize that if the challenge is coming up, that is symptomatic of a problem with the foundation. If the foundation is solid, then the subsequent problems don't arise. If the subsequent problems/challenges arise, then there's something fundamentally, I don't want to say wrong, but there's something that requires addressing in the foundation itself. Lekach, shoresh tikun kol anyan malal. Therefore, I was saying, this is an amazing idea. And by the way, you'll see why this makes so much sense also in Yomim Noraim. His lekach, shoresh tikun kol ha'inyanim halalu. Therefore, the root to fix all of our spiritual challenges, ein rak bekabalos ma'asios keitza linhog ba'openzeh, the keitza linhog ba'openzeh, it's not just taking on additional behaviors or curbing certain behaviors, el ikar amal ha'adam letakein techila es emunaso, shetiye emuna zaka ubihira. Rather, a person has to fix his emuna to make sure that his emuna is clear, is luminescent, va'az yakyal alav harbe ma'od. And then Rabbi said, by working on our emunah, we will find that many of our challenges, by definition, get resolved. V'yabef sharuso lehismodid heitivim kol anfei achatamot olosem, and we'll have a much easier time dealing with many of the different sins and their appendages. Kichol she'emunaso shala adam tiyeh chayu ubehira b'nafsho, because as long as a person's emunah is strong and luminescent in his heart, but on the other hand, when the opposite is true as well, the more that the emuna is deficient in the heart of man, learning Torah becomes more challenging, so we'll say, I want to say something very interesting. It's only after learning this that something began to make sense. I'll share with you a true confession. For me, the hardest part on Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. Right? There's this whole amount part of the day that is spent on, like, so to speak, crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sure, it always is intriguing to me because this is the day of judgment, right? Kol ba'ei olam odin lefan of kibnei. Maruch Hashbaruch Hu judges each of us. We have to give an account. And okay, you want to tell me HaMelech HaKadosh? I got it. Ribbono Shel Olam is the king. Understood. I'm in. We spend this whole section of Musaf Shmona Esrei speaking about, you know, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Melech, quoting all the different psukim, and even so much of the davening is focused on this coronation of God. It always bothered me. Like, if today is a day of, if Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, why am I spending all of this time coronating God? But now we understand, why am I spending all of my time coronating God? Because in essence, what I'm doing on Rosh Hashanah is, I'm working on my emunah. I'm bolstering my belief. It's interesting. You see, I think Rosh Hashanah should be... And by the way, it's also something else. Let's say, why is it that there's no vidu in Rosh Hashanah? You ever wonder about this also? Right? We spend the whole slichos, hashamnu, baganu, gaza, all the stuff, all the tshuva, and then comes the day of judgment for 2 days, radio silence on the vidui. Then some gedali comes, then we resume slichos and Yom Kippur. How could it be that on the day of judgment there's no focus on confession? But now it makes perfect sense. Because what's Rosh Hashanah about? What's the greatest tshuva? What's the greatest form of tshuva? Now that we just know, what's the greatest form of tshuva? I'm not asking Dov because he never saved her with him. What's the greatest form of tshuva? The greatest form of tshuva is bolstering your emunah. That is the greatest form of tshuva. Because remember again, what we're seeing now is that sin and sinful behavior is a manifestation of a wobbly theological or spiritual foundation. If my emunah was really intact, then I'd be solid. Then I wouldn't struggle with the things that I struggle with. It doesn't mean I wouldn't totally struggle, but I'd have a lot less struggle. If I'm struggling in certain areas, that means that there's a part of my emunah foundation that's not solid. So comes Rosh Hashanah, it's a day of judgment. So I have a choice. I could tackle this issue, I could tackle that issue, or I could say, no, no, no. Let me get down to the root of the issue. What is the root of all of my mistakes over the course of the year? What is the root of it? Not because I don't care, God forbid. Not because it doesn't matter to me. But because my emunah wasn't as strong as it should be. So let's say, if you think about it, we spend Rosh Hashanah not confessing our sins, but bolstering our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Specifically, bolstering, and this is mamish what he's saying over here, bolstering our emunah in God as the creator. And if God is the creator, if God is the Borei, he's the creator, then I am the Nivra, I am the creation. And I realize that if I bolster that emunah, if I, like with the Chafetz Chaim, right? Bereishis Barakim Hashem Vasaras, if I bolster that emunah pshuta, that simple emunah, then what's going to happen? Foundation is solid. What happens if the foundation is solid? There's a lot less challenge happening in my life if the foundation is solid. Isn't it amazing? And there I have to thank all of you, because had I not had the opportunity to prepare this share, it's bothered me all of these years. Something to this day bothered me about Rosh Hashanah. But now it makes perfect sense. It is a day of tshuva, but it's the ultimate tshuva. Not a tshuva that's accomplished by tackling this issue or tackling that issue. A systemic tshuva that is done ultimately by attacking the core, the root issue of all sin, which is a lack of emunah. We spend 2 days mamish focusing on emunah, bolster that up. Once that emunah is bolstered, then what happens? Then I spend Yom Kippur doing what? Then I spend Yom Kippur on the specific averos. Okay, that's fine. But remember, if you would start with the specific averos, so we'll say, it's like, you know, it's like if a person has a broken arm, you give him a Band-Aid. It's very nice. It might help with the scrape, but my arm is broken. What good does the Band-Aid? So doing vidui without bolstering emunah is like putting a Band-Aid on a broken neshama. It's very nice, but the only thing that fixes a broken neshama is the bolstering of emunah. That's Rosh Hashanah, and then that's how Yom Kippur comes afterwards. And by the way, that's also why, you know, the other famous kasha is that Yom Kippur is the day of slichu mechil, it's the day of forgiveness. Right? Rosh Hashanah is a day of din, a day of judgment. Because what are we judged on? Right? What are we really judged on? So there's a lot of different answers. But one of the things that we're really judged on is the notion of how much we could bolster up our emunah over those days. Can we go ahead and really bolster emunah? Because if I could bolster my foundation of emunah on Rosh Hashanah, then I could have forgiveness for all of my other sins. Then Yom Kippur is, so to speak, easy. Because once I have my emunah, I've shored up the foundation. Once the Yibam Shalom sees that I've shored up the foundation, he's much more willing to forgive me than for all of the other individual sins. Because once I fixed the core issue, then the Yibam Shalom is confident that I won't repeat those things again. But if I don't fix the core issues, and I'm just showing up on Yom Kippur and saying, Hashem Libagavnu, and I'm saying I'm sorry for the sins, but I'm not willing to tackle the core issue, then a tshuva like that is deficient. Sorry, what were we going to say?
So how do we use Elul to help bolster that emunah when we're doing, you know, seems like we're doing a lot of vidui and,
Shamnu, Baganus,
and that's almost like
going
from gear to that gear, then back to that gear.
So because I think, and again, this is just my own feelings on this, I think the answer is that most of us can't start with emuna. I think what ends up happening is, you know, like Rabbi Nachman writes, that life is rotza v'shov, right? It's always it's a movement of going forwards and going backwards. I think what ends up happening is like this, that if a person really pays attention to slichos and to elul, so I did this, right, I did that avera, and then the whole point of elul is, right, it's the ir miklat, I need to go into myself, I need to think a little bit, and then it's like, why is this happening? First, I have to get the process started. The way the process started is, I put all my baggage on the table. It's all here, okay? Now I'm looking at it. Here's all of my baggage. Here's all the stuff I did. And after, I'm a good person. I try to be a good person. So how did this happen? Then the realization I come to is what? The realization I come to is, it's because my emunah wasn't as strong as it should be. But that's a meaningful conclusion because I arrived at it through this process. As opposed to start, I have to work on emunah. Why do I have to work on emunah?
To really avidui after Rosh Hashanah should be very different.
That's what I think.
That the whole. The rest of that seriously, you would be mamlach after the parah, and then go and you'll give her.
I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, if you had a successful Rosh Hashanah, then ultimately I bolstered my emunah, which means now that my emunah is bolstered, now, and by the way, you should note that the slichos of Aseres Yemei Teshuva are different than the pre-slichos. They are. Well, that's really what I was saying, right? Right, correct. Excellent observation. Right? So the idea is they're different by design. Even just the nature of the pismonim are different by design because it is a different slichos. But I think the chap is, you know, during Chodesh Elul, I'm kind of just like getting this process started. So the only way to get the process, meaning, you know, it's like in most things, people only do things for one reason. And what's that? If there's something in it for them. So tshuva is also like that. What's in it for me? So what's in it for me? I've done a lot of stuff over the past year that I'm not very happy with, and I like to kind of square things away with God. That's what's in it for me. So it by definition has to start with a vidui. But then if I'm honest with myself, hopefully a thoughtful person, I'll say, well, how did I get myself into this? I'm a good person. How did I get myself into all of these situations? And the answer to that is, I don't have a strong enough foundation of emunah. Comes Rosh Hashanah, Hamelech. That's why everything is Hamelech, 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 Hamelech. Everything is about being mamlech. I always want to incarnate the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm accepting God as the Creator. I'm bolstering emunah pshuta. Once you bolster emunah pshuta, then the foundation is solid. Now the foundation is solid. Go back, slichos for Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Yom Kippur can take care of the rest of the details. And by the way, it's the other pshat. You know, the Gemara says, Meshita of Rebbe in Mesechus Yom, such a strange Gemara. Rebbe says, Itzumo shel Yom Mechaper. Even if you do nothing on Yom Kippur, the day itself atones. Interesting, the Rambam doesn't include it in Hilchos Teshuva, but the Rebbe quotes it in the Gemara, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, and that's the pshat. The pshat is because once you shore up your foundation and you've bolstered your emunah, the take away individual chatam is quote-unquote easy. That's not the hard part of tshuva. The hard part of tshuva is bolstering your emunah foundation. But once you've done that, everything else is a much easier process.
But by Rosh Hashanah, there's a Gemara din for Olam Haba. I think I learned that someplace. By Rosh Hashanah, it's a Gemara din for Olam Haza. But Yom Kippur is a Gemara din for Olam Haza. And Rosh Hashanah, I think, is a Gemara din for Olam Haba.
I don't know why it's Olam Haza also. What does it mean for Olam Haba?
In other words, his relationship, wherever, I don't remember where I read this.
I don't know.
No?
No, I'm not saying no, it could be. It's Shivim Param Lator, it's possible. But I think, at least on a basic level, Rosh Hashanah is also, but it's Mamish Shisi Yom Adin.
Okay, that would go well with what you were saying.
Well, no,
in other words, the Olam Haba, the relationship, whatever your relationship is.
Oh, that's what's determined. Interesting. Could be. I don't know if I'd love to see that. I'm curious. All right, let's go a little bit weiter. So I just think it's amazing, you know, just how if you look at it through this lens, it just sets the Amim Noraim up in such a dramatically different model. That's another paragraph. He says, Nenas elosi sura masis, ketzad lelil mot es maase bereshis, bitzura nechona. So he says, let me give you an example of how we could learn maase bereshis, the creation story, and ultimately learn it in a correct way. Remember, how do you use Maase Bereishis to teach us a simple and beautiful emunah? Let me give you a simple introduction. So remember, he's referencing back over here is that story with the Chafetz Chaim from last week's shir. So the Chafetz Chaim, whenever he struggled with his emunah, whatever that means for the Chafetz Chaim, he opened up the Chumash, read Bereshis, just read the Psukim, no Rambans, no Sfarnos, no Balaturim, just simply read the Psukim, bolstered his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this allowed him to shore himself up spiritually. So he says, let's talk about how this process plays out, and how we could just use the Psukim in just a simple understanding to be able to shore up our emunah. He says, Ksiv, V'haya ki yishal chabincha. He says, it'll be when your son asks you. Mikan lamdu chazal, chiv mitzvas v'ikanet l'albincha b'leil ha-Pesach. So listen to this. So we know, again, V'haya ki yishal chabincha teaches us the model that on Pesach, it's a question-answer paradigm. My son, my child asks me a question, I, the father, answer. He says, Aseichel hu ha'av, excuse me, B'chol adam yesh ben, av u'ben p'nir. So this is actually a very beautiful statement. Every person has an inner father and an inner son. What does that mean? Haseichel hu ha'av. The intellect is the father, v'halev hu ha-ben. Actually, very beautiful. The heart, that's the child. That's the son. Which I will say is also a very beautiful metaphor on many levels. The idea being that as we get, you know, the beautiful part about children is that children really are much less intellect and much more emotion. And whereas that sometimes gets them into trouble, right, what it also does is it represents a beautiful tzad of spirituality as well. That a spirituality that's innocent, a spirituality that's passionate, and sometimes is not shackled by the intellect, which sometimes the intellect does. Liba, Sheba, Leif, Mevin, Lashon, Ben, Kinoda, fine. Vahari lanu, kisha seichel hua'av, so when the seichel is the father, va'alav lelameid es ha'ben es ha'leiv, tzuras ha'limut, o ayidei koach ha'machshava, Sha'adam is boni b'dar. So now if we accept this idea that every person has a father and an internal father and an internal son, meaning, and that internal father, that av, that's my intellect, and my ben, my son, that's my heart, that's my leiv. He says the following. He says, v'hari lanu kisha seichel hu av. So if the seichel is the father, intellect is the father, v'alav lilamid es haben, and the seichel has, the father has to teach the son, es haleiv. So what does this mean? That the intellect has to instruct the heart. Tzuras halimut. So how does this learning take place? O ayidei koach ha-machshava, it can be through thought. Sha'adam isbonin midvarim ad asher nifka'im b'leiv. So let's say, so one way this happens is, and we saw this already in the first chelik of this sefer, that if you think about things enough, then what happens? Meaning, if you create an intellectual reality, over time what happens? It becomes part of your heart. So let's say it's interesting. We sometimes think that things start in the heart and then go to the mind. The Mechaber suggests that it's just the opposite. It starts in the mind and it makes an imprint on the heart. It starts at the av and then it goes down to the ben. O ayidei koach ha-dibor, or through speech. Sha'adam medaber divrei emuna b'fev. A person speaks words of emuna with his mouth. Ad asher nikva'im b'libo kvo shibur ba'aruch amiratz Hashem. And until they become established in his heart, that we'll explain this in great depth. Shabbos says, so there are two ways that the av could teach the ben. Two ways that the intellect makes an impression on the lave, on that the seichel makes an impression on the lave, on the heart. Either through thought, through constantly thinking about something, which creates an intellectual awareness, it becomes part of my emotional, spiritual awareness, or through speech, by constantly reinforcing things verbally, again, it becomes a part of my lave. He says the following, Avoda zumu teles al ha'adam, lab dafka bela pesach kimuvan, ela kala shana kula, lahashrish bibino shal atzmo libor. So listen to how beautiful this is. As yisodos ha'emuna ha'pshutim. This is so beautiful. It's not just Pesach. Every single person, each of us is an av and each of us is a ben. Right? So every single person, we have an obligation to take that which our av knows and transmit it to the ben. Isn't that beautiful? We have an obligation to take what the av knows, the intellect, and to transmit that to the ben, to the heart. So beautiful. And what do we have an obligation to transmit? The yisodos ha'emun ha'pshutim. The simple, fundamental, foundational pillars of belief. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim es ha-Torah, kula mitzvah alinu l'sapra b'yitzhah. And mostly remember, what does it say by the Haggadah? In the Haggadah it says that there's an obligation of Sipra Yitzhah to retell the Exodus narrative. And even if you're very wise, and even if you're very smart, and even if you know the story backwards and forwards, there's still a mitzvah to go ahead and tell the story. The Chol Zos, why? Mipnei shechachma bina v'da'as. Right, a little Chabad. Right, chachma bina v'da'as. Hu inyan lochud. Upshitos ha'emuna b'leif. Hu inyan lochud. Because they both say chachma bina v'da'as, which are all functions of the intellect. Intellectual understanding and knowledge is one thing, and a heartfelt understanding of things is something radically different. The efshar shachacham shaadam chacham meivin v'yodeya. Ubelibo chasilo sapshitas. We'll say this is so profound. It could be that a person is a chacham and he understands and he knows certain things, but in his heart he doesn't even understand the most simple of things. Isn't that amazing? There are so many things in life that we know with our mind, but we just simply don't know in our heart. V'lakach belel pesach al kol adam afilo chacham meivin v'yodeya mutal alav l'saper. Therefore, again, on Leil Pesach, even if a person is very wise, it is a mitzvah upon him, l'saper. Now, he makes a little play on words right now. Saper literally means to tell over. But he says, lashon ha'ara milashon sapir, kimo shekasa b'sharim ha'kidoshim. So listen to this. The lashon of l'saper, also sapir. Sapir means light, or actually is a luminescent stone, a luminescent jewel. So muta alav l'saper means you have an obligation to make this awareness become luminescent. Ula ha'ir b'nafshu es yisodos ha'amuna ha'pshuta ha'nilmodim mikol inyone galus ugu'ulas mitzrayim. And we have an obligation specifically on the Leil HaSeder to go ahead and to impress upon ourselves all of the principles of amuna pshuta that are learned out from galus and from gulas mitzrayim. So we'll say, what comes out over here is something that I think is absolutely amazing. Let's just finish up Pei Aleph. This is Yisod Godla Adlama Odan Olom de Mitzuras HaSibar Bela Pesach. We learn a lot from the paradigm of Sipur Yisias HaTzrayim. Tzuras HaSibar Bela Pesach Haram Begimar Pesachim Shubit Tzuras She'elot Tshuva Chazal Gino Loni Yisod Godla Bekoach Nefesh HaAdam. The way we tell over the Pesach story is through question and answers. And through that, Chazal taught us a lot about the Nefesh of man. V'hu she'kaasher HaAdam rotze lahashrish bekirbo Davra b'tzura yisodis ma'od, alav la'asos zos b'tzura shal berur, b'tzura shal shela tshuva. Chazal teaches us that when you want something to be clear to you, you have to work through it. You have to either say it over in a question and answer, or you have to work through it, you have to articulate it in a way that is abundantly clear. V'af shebevadei shebesho shu shalas ha-sheila, hu kvar yodea b'sichlo as ha-tshuva heitiv, v'imkin ma'mokum l'sheila yishkan. We'll say, right, we all have this with our kids, right? So the kids often miss the point of manishtana, because it's a strange thing, because here you want me to ask the questions, but what? I know the answers already. But says the Mechaber, even if you know the answers, it's important to ask the question, why? Ulam gila lanu chazal shezet suras havanas libo shala adam. Chazal teaches us that's the way a person's heart begins to understand. But suras shal she'elo tshuva. Through passive questions and answers. But amok yoser, she'elo hu nesinas makom lekishyos orav shevelibo shala adam. But tshuva hi gilu in the kudas ha'ema shebelev hu amok. So this was, we'll actually talk about this later on. He says it's even more. He says asking questions is a good outlet for a little bit of our stiff neckness. Right, that the idea is there's a part of us that's very questioning, that's very inquisitive. So the ability just to ask questions, even if I know the answers to it, is a very healthy outlet. Ulakach bash kasher adam rotze ladabre alibo. When a person wants to speak to his heart, ulahashrish bo dvarim b'tzura benuyam yusedes, and he wants to express ideas to himself in a logical construct. I love la'asos zos b'tzura shal she'elo tshuva. Ze yisol gadol ad lama'od sheshopech or yakros al tzura sa'avode im nefesh adam. So we'll say, this I think is an incredible yisod of the Mechaber. So the Mechaber teaches us, number one, a couple of things. First of all, reinforcing this point that we've learned before, namely, that when there is a spiritual challenge, it's important to understand a spiritual challenge as a manifestation of a rickety spiritual foundation. I have to work on my emuna pshuta. So how do I work on my emuna pshuta? So first of all, the Mechaber told us, bolstering your emuna pshuta can be defined as a very simple process. I have to get the av to convey the requisite knowledge to the ben. The av is the seichel, the intellect. The ben is the heart, is the lev. And there are many things I know, but it's not enough just to know. I need them to make an imprint on my heart. How does that happen? So the paradigm for that model is Leil HaSeder. Because what happens on Leil HaSeder? Vayakish alcha bincha. Your son will ask you. So yes, you're first to my physical child, but also the whole point of Leil HaSeder is to reinstill within myself certain truths and certain realities. To take things that I know in my seichel, in my av, and to imprint them on my lev, on my bein. And there are essentially two ways says you could do that. Either number one, by going ahead and just thinking about things constantly. If you keep thinking about them, ultimately, they'll become a part of your heart. Or second possibility is how? To speak them out. But what the Mechaber introduces us now is that sometimes the most effective way to speak them out is how? Is how? Through question and answer. That sometimes that back and forth, that ratzol v'shol, that back and forth, that question answer, sometimes is the best way to be able to go ahead and take those things that we know in the av, in the seichel, and ultimately to imprint them on the lev. We'll stop over here for tonight, but at least Baruch Hashem, we got, I think, a major nekuda fi yamim noraim, right? That our job over the yamim noraim is really not to necessarily focus on the individual averos that we've done. That's for now, and that's for Aseres Mitzvah, and that's for Yom Kippur. But really, our avoda ultimately over Rosh Hashanah is to figure out how we can bolster the foundation a little bit more, how we can make our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit more solid, and more importantly, how we can build up our emunah pshuta, perhaps using the Lashon of the Mechaber, how we can take all of those things that we know in our av and somehow transmit it to our being. So we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem. We should have a beautiful and uplifting Yamim Nora, and we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to take all the beautiful knowledge contained in the Av, transmit it to the Bein. We should be zochem to bolster our Emunah Pshut and Halavai. We should all be zochem for a Ksiva B'Chassima Tova.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Should maybe,
if you struggle with
Emunah, you should read the Haggadah. Should read the Haggadah. It could be. It could be.